الحمد لله الذي أحاط بكل شيء علما وقضى بما يريد حكمة وحكما أنعم بالنعم ابتلاء وامتحانا فمن شكر فإنما يشكر لنفسه ومن كفر فإن الله غني حميد وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أفضل الرسل وخلاصة البشر صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين لهم بإحسان على رشد وتسديد وسلم تسليما كثيرا وبعد أيها الإخوة الأعزاء وأيتها الأخوات الفاضلات سلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته وبعد Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we welcome you all once again to our live lectures with scholars and mashayikh of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Dear brothers, a few hours ago, Shaykh Rasulullah Abbas, hafidhahullah ta'ala, called and informed me that due to an emergency, he has to go to a doctor and asked to be excused for today's lecture. He gives you all salam, so please make dua for his health. However, it is of great honor to have with us today our noble Shaykh, Dr. Saleh As-Saleh, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala wa Ra'a. He is a well-known author and lecturer, and from among the foremost students of Al-Allama Al-Asuli Al-Faqih, الشيخ محمد بن صالح الوثيمين رحمه الله رحمة واسعة. Perhaps most of you know him through his great books and weekly session at Pal Talk. We thank him for responding to our call and agreeing to do today's lecture in such a short notice. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward him tremendously and grant him success in this dunya and in hereafter. In our today's lecture, our Honorable Sheikh will discuss a very important issue. So please be attentive. Our today's topic is testing, afflictions, and calamities. Ayyuhal Ikhwa, before we proceed with our today's topic, we would like to inform you of our upcoming summer camp due to take place in California from June 15 to June 18, 2006, inshallah. We have confirmed for the tally links the Grand Mufti of Saudi Arabia, Samahat al-Sheikh Abdul Aziz al-Sheikh, and Ma'ali al-Sheikh Abdullah bin Abdul Rahman al-Ghudayan, and Fadilat al-Sheikh Ali bin Abdul Rahman al-Hudayfi, the well-known reciter and Imam of Khatib and Khatib of Masjid al-Nabawi. Inshallah, they will deliver the lectures via tally links. And from among the on-site confirmed speakers are our beloved brother Abu Mujahid Farid Abdullah, the Imam of Masjid al-Mu'min, California, and our beloved brother Abu Khalil Jad Sylvester, the well-known da'i from Alabama and the one who had translated some books for Dar al-Salam. For more information, please visit our website www.albasira.org. And now, without any further delay, we ask our Honorable Sheikh, Dr. Saleh As-Saleh, Hafizahullah Ta'ala wa Ra'a, to proceed. فَلْيَتَفَدَّلْ مَشْكُورًا مَعْجُورًا
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم الحمد لله القائل ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إن لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. All praise is due to Allah, the Most High, the one who says وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات، وبشر الصابرين. And certainly we shall test you with something of fear, hunger, loss of wealth, lives and fruits, but give glad tidings to the patient ones who, when afflicted with calamity, say, truly to Allah we belong, and truly to Him we shall return. They are those on whom are the salawat, those who are blessed and will be forgiven from their Lord, and they are those who receive His mercy, and it is they who are the guided ones. And may the salah and salam of Allah be upon His messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the one who was tried and tested with various types of tests, and he was patient and persevering. The same also may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala salah and salam be upon His household and the noble companions who also were tested and tried, and upon the righteous predecessors, those who followed them in righteousness until the day of resurrection. It is clear that this life is filled with calamities and tests and trials, and that every believer will be subjected to many of these calamities and tests and trials, sometimes in himself and sometimes in his wealth and sometimes in his beloved ones. And so the preordainments that are from the one who is all wise touches him in various ways and manners. And if the believer does not have the correct view to the matter of testing, then he may err seriously, especially since some of the calamities are great and profound. Many people are negligent about the wisdoms behind trials and testings, and they may not understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not test us as a punishment, but rather as a mercy, and that the believer should look at the matter of ibtila, testing and trials, through the textual proofs from the Quran and the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, so that he can stand on a firm ground regarding these matters. Yes, it is a test and a trial. Every day we are tested in this life. Our wealth is a test. The spouse is a test. The children are tests. Poverty and wealth and richness are tests. Health and illness. We are tested in everything that we possess and in that which we encounter in this life, until we meet Allah, the Most High. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Anbiya, in 21, verse 35, كل نفس ذائقة الموت ونبلوكم بالشر والخير فتنة وإلينا ترجعون وإلينا ترجعون. Everyone is going to taste death, and we shall make a trial of you with evil and with good, and to us he will be returned. وقال سبحانه وتعالى in Surah Al-Ankabut, verses 2 and 3, أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فلا يعلمن الله الذين صدقوا ولا يعلمن الكاذبين. Do people think that they will be left alone because they say we believe and will not be tested? ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم, and indeed, or we indeed tested those who were before them. فلا يعلمن الله الذين صدقوا ولا يعلمن الكاذبين, and Allah will certainly make it known the truth of those who are true, and will certainly make it known the falsehood of those who are liars, although Allah knows all that before putting them to test. So even the one who is healthy and the one who is in illness is tested. The one who is healthy did not know until he was touched by a trial, and the one who was ill did not feel that he was in a testing situation until he was cured. No one is to be safe from this because of his prestige or his status or something. This does not prevent the matter of testing, because we remember, as in the hadith, in the authentic hadith which is narrated by Al-Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءِ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلِ فَالْأَمْثَلِ. Mostly intense in terms of testing are the prophets, and then the like, and then the like. And amongst us there is no one who possesses the ability to reject the test, but there are amongst us who are tested and succeed by patient persevering and by faith and by anticipating the reward. And from amongst us are those who may be tested but fail because of weak faith and objection to Allah Azza wa Jal, and we seek refuge in Allah from that. And may Allah's mercy be upon Al-Fudayl bin Iyad when he said that as long as people are in a state of good welfare, then once they are tested, then they will return to their realities. The believer will go to his faith, and the hypocrite will go to his hypocrisy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preordained everything for us. From that, our sustenance, including our sustenance and our spans of living, spans of life. Allah ta'ala in Surah Al-Zukhruf, verse 32, chapter 43, verse 32, نحن قسمنا بينهم معيشتهم في الحياة الدنيا. It is we who portion out between them their livelihood in this world. Sustenance, livelihood is preordained in certain measures. Illness is preordained. One's welfare is preordained. Everything in this life is preordained. So the person should accept what Allah had preordained for him and should not hate or dislike or have discomfort towards these preordinances. And as since the matter is like that, then one should submit his affair to Allah and know that whatever befalls him is not to miss him, and whatever misses him is not to befall him. And whoever wants that the life be on one tone, it is as if he what's the pre-decree of Allah to be in accordance with his desires. And this is wishful thinking. No matter what this pre-ordinance and this test, then it is a matter that is good for the believer. However, with the condition of giving thanks for Allah's favor and being patient on the test. And in the authentic hadith, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, عجبا لأمر المؤمن, he said, amazing is the affair of the believer. إن أمره كله خير, كله له خير. His affair to him is all good. And this is for none except for the believer. وليس ذلك لأحد إلا للمؤمن. إن أصابته صداء شكر فكان خيرا له. If he's touched by something good, and then he thanks, then this is good for him. When أصابته ضراء صبر فكان خيرا له. And if he is touched by a calamity or hardship, then he is patient, then this is good for him. And this hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 1, فعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا ويجعل الله فيه خيرا كثيرا. And it may be that you may dislike something, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes in it abundant good for you. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعَسَى أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَى أَن تُحَبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And it may be that you dislike something and it is good for you. It may be also that you may love something but it is evil for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And that Allah knows while you know not. As in Surah Al-Baqarah 2216. So if the person knows that the one who tested him is the one who bestowed favors upon you, and that it is not that what yourself dislikes is really to be disliked in reality, and the same, not everything that yourself desires, then it is beneficial for you in reality. And Allah knows and you don't know. Some of the Salaf rahimahumullah said, if you are afflicted by a calamity and you are patient, then your calamity is one. But if you are not patient, then your calamity is double, losing the reward and losing the one, the beloved one, the hereafter, paradise. The saying of the Salaf here, or some of the Salaf, is in relation to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned in Surah Al-Hajj 22:11. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ اطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ انْقَلَبَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينُ. And among mankind is he who worships Allah as it were upon the very edge, meaning in doubt. If good befalls him, he is content therewith. But if a trial befalls him, he turns back on his faith. He loses both this world and the hereafter. And that is the evident loss. Certainly, testing is a station for a while, which will erase the sins. As they will be removed, as the leaves of a tree fall down as in the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri and Abi Huraira radiallahu anhuma from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, ما يصيب المسلم من نصب ولا وصب ولا هم ولا حزن ولا أذى ولا غم حتى الشوكة يشاكها إلا كفر الله بها من خطاياه. In the hadith reported by Abi Sa'id al-Khudri wa Abi Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and as the wording of Imam al-Bukhari of this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, no fatigue, no disease, nor sorrow, nor sadness, nor hurt, nor distress befalls a Muslim, even if it were the prick he receives from a thorn, but that Allah expiates some of his sins for that. And this is in volume 7, hadith number 545 in Sahih Bukhari. And also from Abi Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the same volume 7, 548, hadith 548, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُصِبْ مِنْهُ. If Allah wants to do good to somebody, He afflicts him with trials. He afflicts him with trials. And the hadith narrated by Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said, أَتَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي مَرَضِهِ. I visited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his ailments. وَهُوَ يُوعَكُ وَعْكًا شَدِيدًا وَقُلْتُ إِنَّكَ لَتُوعَكُ وَعْكًا شَدِيدًا. I visited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his ailments. He was suffering from a high fever. I said, you have a high fever, or is it because you will have a double reward for it? إِنَّ ذَاكَ بِأَنَّ لَكَ أَجْرَيْنَ. قال أجل. He said, yes. ما من مسلم يصيبه أذى إلا حات الله عنه خطاياه كما تحات ورق الشجر. No Muslim is afflicted with any harm, but for that Allah will remove his sins as the leaves of a tree fall down. So the reward is affirmed regarding every kind of harm or hurt, tangible or intangible, if the believer is patient, patiently persevering, and anticipates the reward. And in the hadith reported by Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قال سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن الله تعالى قال إذا ابتليت عبدي بحبيبتيه فصبر عوضته منهما الجنة. Allah said, if I deprive my slave of his two beloved things, meaning his eyes, and he remains patient, I will let him enter paradise in compensation for them. Testing and trials remove sins, and the children of Adam, all of them are sinful. They do and commit sins, and also testing and trials can raise one's degree to higher degrees in paradise. And in the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to his angels, when they take the soul of a child, قَبَطْتُمْ ثَمَرَةَ فُؤَادِهِ, you took the fruit of his heart. فَيَقُلُونَ نَعَمْ, they say yes. He, Allah says, مَاذَا قَالَ عَبْدِي, what did my slave say upon that? فَيَقُولُونَ حَمَدَكَ وَاسْتَرْجَعَ, they said, or they would say, he praised you, وَاسْتَرْجَعَ, meaning he said إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, to Allah we belong and to him we shall return. فيقول Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says ابنوا لعبدي بيتا في الجنة وسموه بيت الحمد, built for my slave a house in paradise and name it the house of praise. This is reported by Imam Ahmad, and Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah graded it as hasan, as good narration. And in the hadith also by Sahih Muslim, any Muslim hurt by a thorn and something greater than a thorn, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove a sin from him and give him a degree for that. So degrees above degrees until he reaches his final degree in paradise, which will come due to his patience, and also on top of that due to the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah the Most High says in Surah Az-Zumar 39:10, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. These are calamities and trials are tests, and they are signs of love from Allah to the believer. So they are like a cure. Although it may be bitter, but you accept because it is from the one whom you love. And to Allah belongs the best example. And in the hadith, the magnitude of reward is proportional to the magnitude of testing. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most magnificent, the most mighty, loves some people, he tests them. فَمَنْ رَضِيَ فَلَهُ الرِّضَى. Anyone who is content from them, then he will receive the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ سَخَطْ. And the one who is discontent, he will receive the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is related by At-Tirmidhi, and Al-Shaykh Al-Albani considered it sahih. Imam Ibn Qayyim said that the ibtila of the mu'min, the ibtila of the believer, the testing of the believer, is like the medicine for him, extracts from him the illnesses, which if it will remain, it will destroy him or will diminish his reward and diminish his level. So the testing and the trials extract these illnesses from him and prepares him to the perfect reward and the highness of degree. And certainly the affliction of tests by tests and trials is better to the believer than a punishment in the hereafter. Certainly in that there is an elevation of his ranks and an expiation for his sins, and therefore it is better. And in the hadith, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends good for the believer, he will hasten for him the punishment in this life, and if he intends otherwise, then he will hold that and will hold him to his sin until he recompenses it for him on the day of resurrection. And the hadith is reported by At-Tirmidhi, and Al-Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah authenticated it. And Ahlul Ilm, the people of knowledge, made it clear that this is referring to the one who is hypocrite, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds the punishment upon him in this life to give him his full account on the day of resurrection, wal'iyadu billah. In the tests and the trials, there are lessons. The first lesson is that the tests and the trials the testing and trials is from the benefits of that is the influence on one's tawheed and iman and dependence. There are lessons therefore in tawheed and in iman and in tawakkul and reliance upon Allah. It makes you examine your reality that you are a weak creation. You have no power nor strength except in your Lord. So therefore you resort to Him to depend upon Him. Thereupon arrogance and false pride and puffing and negligence will be removed, and you will come to know that you are really poor and in need of your Creator, the Almighty, the Most Perfect. So you resort to Him. The second lesson is that the testing unravels the reality of this life, and that is a temporal stay for enjoyment, and that the perfect life is the one after that where there is no toil. And no worry, no fatigue, no disease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated this in Surah Al-Ankabut in 29:64, وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. And this life of the world is only amusement and play. And this is better than saying it's enjoyment. It's better to say that it is an amusement and play, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it. Verily the home of the hereafter, that is the life indeed. This is the eternal life that will never end, if they but know. Even with this amusement and play, there is also toil and fatigue. So this is the reality of this life. So this is the reality of this life. One day smiling at you, one day turning its back to you. This is its nature. But man forgets that. So the trials come, and the testing comes and makes the person understand the nature of this life and that he should not attach himself to it. I will repeat. The third lesson is that the tests and trials remind the person of Allah's favor upon him in his welfare, in his status of being in a transitional life. The fourth lesson, this reminds us, the testing and trials remind us that we should not be in a joy thinking that it will, in a joy such that we feel arrogant, and also not to be in a state of sadness and grief to make the one feel a state of despair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states this in Surah Al-Hadid in chapter 57 verses 22-23. ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها إن ذلك على الله يسير. No calamity befalls on the earth or in yourselves, but is inscribed in the book of decrees before we bring it into existence. Verily that is easy for Allah. لكي لا تأسوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم والله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. In order that you may not be sad over matters that you fail to get, nor rejoice because of that which has been given to you. And Allah likes not the prideful boosters. The fifth lesson is that the trials and tests reminds the person of his shortcomings and disease, so that he can repent from them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 79, وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ. Whatever of good reaches you is from Allah, but whatever of evil befall you is from yourself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ash-Shura in 42 verse 30, he subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. You are the cause for doing these sins, and whatever of misfortune befalls you, it is because of what your hands have earned. And he pardons much, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore there is a chance for repentance before the greater torment may occur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Sajdah in 32 verse 21, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دون العذاب الأكبر لعلهم يرجعون. And verily we will make them taste of this near torment, meaning the torment in the life of this world, disasters, calamities, prior to the supreme torment in the hereafter, in order that they may repent, in order that they may repent and return to Allah and return and accept Islam. And this lesser torment is this life in a way, which is calamities, disasters, hardships. The sixth lesson is that testing and trials is a great teaching process, where it teaches the person to become patient. We cannot stand on the truth except with patience, on obedience. And we cannot stay away from falsehood except with patient perseverance regarding disobedience. And we cannot walk these paths of this life except with patience on the preordinances of Allah. And the outcome is Jannatul Khuld wa Ridwan, the endless bliss in paradise and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Fussilat 41:35, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. But none is granted it except those who are patient, and none is granted it except the owner of great portion of the happiness in the hereafter. So if the calamity befalls us and we pass it in reality, then we have learned the lessons. The Salaf rahimahumullah were much better than our state concerning testing and trials, and they put magnificent examples in all of that, in patience and in anticipation of reward. And it is reported from Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that he used to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the tests and trials. And when he was asked about it, he said, whenever I was touched by a testing, except that Allah bestowed on me four favors, that it wasn't a test in my deen, in my religion, and that it was not greater than me, and that it was not greater than what befell me, and that I was not deprived content and patience, and that I hope for the reward of Allah. So we should not accept, we should not forget to search that in the test there is reward, and that this cannot be attained except with patience, and patience cannot be attained except with a strong will and faith, and that we should not forget to remember Allah and being thankful for His favors and being patient on His tests and trials. And let this be a sincere and hidden matter between us and our Rabb Azza wa Jal, because He knows and He sees, and He is more merciful to you than yourself, to yourself, and from all mankind to you. So turn your affair to Him. And as the poet put it, إِذَا شَكَوْتَ إِلَى ابْنِ آدَمَ فَكَأَنَّمَا تَشْكُ الرَّحِيمَ إِلَى الَّذِي لَا يَرْحَمُ. If you complain to the son of Adam, it's like you are complaining to one who has no mercy towards you. And we should not forget that if we are touched by something of a calamity, and that we should be thankful to Allah and praise Him that He did not touch us with something more intense and far greater, and that whatever befalls us is not going to miss us, and whatever missed us is not going to befall us, and that the magnitude of reward is proportional to the magnitude of testing, and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that which He gives, and to Him is that which He takes. And leave complaint and discontent, because it's not going to help you. Rather, it will magnify your calamity and will make you miss the reward and subject you to being held as sinful. And let each of us remember that no matter how the magnitude of the calamity may befall us, it will not reach the calamity which touched the entire ummah because of its loss of its beloved one Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who reminded us by saying, إِذَا أَصَابَ أَحَدَكُمْ مُصِيبَةً فَلْيَذَكَّرَ مُصِيبَتَهُ بِي فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْمَصَائِبِ. If anyone of you is touched by a calamity, let him remember the calamity that befell him concerning me. فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْمَصَائِبِ, because it is of the greatest calamities. This is reported by Al-Bayhaqi and authenticated by Al-Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah. And we should not forget to say, when we are touched by a test or a calamity, to say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Verily we are Allah, we belong to Allah, and to Him we shall return. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reward me in my calamity and bring me something better. And Allah help me in my calamity and give me something better in return. And that we should not despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how the calamity may befall us, the magnitude of it, no matter how intense it could be. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Sharh, chapter 94, verse 5 and 6. فإن مع العسر يسرا. إن مع العسر يسرا. So verily with hardship there is relief, and verily with hardship there is relief, and one hardship cannot beat two reliefs, as Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu stated. And also we should not forget the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if He restores to you your welfare state and soundness, lest we become from those whom Allah stated about in Surah Al-Zumar 39:8, وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ ضُرٌّ دَعَى رَبَّهُ مُنِيبًا إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ إِذَا خَوَّلَهُ نِعْمَةً مِنْهُ نَسِيَ مَا كَانَ يَدْعُو إِلَيْهِ مِنْ قَبْلِ. And when some hurt touches man, he cries to his Lord, Allah alone, turning to Him in repentance. But when He bestows a favor upon him from Himself, from Allah, he forgets that for which he cried for before. And he sets up rivals to Allah in order to mislead others from His path. Take pleasure in your disbelief for a while. Surely you are one of the dwellers of the fire. And we should not forget that the testing and the calamities and the trials reminds of an hour that is surely coming, and of a time that will end. This life is not an endless abode, and therefore we must work for our hereafter. And at the end, the reminder and the glad tidings lies in the same verses we began this talk about. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. And we shall test you, certainly, with something of fear, hunger, loss of wealth, lives and fruits. But give glad tidings to the patient ones, who, when afflicted with calamity, they say, truly to Allah we belong, and truly to Him we shall return. They are those on whom are the salawat, the blessings of Allah from their Lord, and they are those who receive His mercy, and it is those who are the guided ones. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who, when afflicted with a calamity, they truly remember and manifest the saying of Allah, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and asking Him to help us in our calamity and testing and trials, to persevere patiently and to overcome, and to ask Him for reward and anticipate the reward from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to compensate us with that which is better. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
Ahsanallahu ilaykum wa barakallahu feekum lahadihi al-muhadara al-qayyima al-mu'athara. Nas'alallahu jalla wa ala an yusabbitana jami'an ala al-haq wa an yahdiyana ila sawa' al-sabil. حفظكم الله شيخنا. عندنا بعض الأسئلة, تسمحون أن أعرض عليكم شيء منها؟
تفضل.
حفظكم الله, جزاكم الله خيرا. Here are some questions inshallah. The first question: here in Australia, with the tawfiq of Allah, our brother and sister accepted Islam, and the brother who gave da'wah to sister, he became the wali of the sister and helped her get married. Is this marriage valid? This marriage took place in presence of two witnesses, and the head of local Islamic center executed the marriage. But the fact that the brother who was the wali is not the imam of the masjid or the head of the center, is that okay? Afiduna barakallahu fikum.
Could you repeat the first part where Who held the marriage?
A brother and sister accepted Islam.
Yes.
And the brother who gave the da'wah to the sister, he became the wali of the sister because she doesn't have any other relatives.
Oh, I see.
Okay, and now the question is, because he is not the imam of the masjid.
I understand.
He's a da'i now.
Inshallah, it's easy. They can go now and redo the contract with a wali that she assigns. You understand?
I think it says in the question that she selected him to be the wali.
But he is not the head of an Islamic center or an authority.
Naam.
In ajli hadha, that's why, to be on the safe side, inshallah, just redo the contract, that's all.
Naam.
Let her assign head of an Islamic center to redo the contract.
Naam.
Inshallah.
Barakallahu feekum. Jazakum Allah khairan. The next question. I have house birds in my home, and their droppings get on the carpet. I do not pray in that room. However, are their droppings considered impure?
House birds.
Yeah.
Inshallah ta'ala, their drops are pure.
Jazakum Allahu khairan. Barakallahu feekum. The next question is it permissible to have wall hangings in the house with verses written from the Quran or similar to that?
This one had been something of a concern for our Shaykh Rahimahullah from some long time, and he disliked it, and because when these verses are hung on the walls, first of all, they are not meant to be hung. The verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not meant to be hung. And especially this is more asserted with the situations where you see people sitting in these majalis, in these circles, making ghibah, backbiting, and speaking ill of others and so forth. Yet these quote-unquote reminders are over their heads. So this is, in a way, belittling the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they are put in this manner. So our Shaykh rahimahullah had a fatwa on this, that this should not be the practice of Muslims, that these should be respected and not put on walls. And here there is a reminder also with respect to another thing, which is you find in many homes the title Allah in a frame, and on the same level you find the title of the name Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is another thing which our Shaykh rahimahullah spoke against, and he said this is a matter which makes of an equivalence in magnitude, and therefore this should not be done. Add to this also another benefit is that you find in the frames where the name Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is done in many Muslim homes is the following: Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, seeking Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for help or refuge and so forth. And this is a form of shirk. Although this is spread by many in many places, this is a very serious matter which people should be aware of, because all the worship and dua must be only sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tafadhal.
Ahsan Allahu ilaykum wa barakallahu feekum. Sa'alun yaqul, the question is, my family member own an internet cafe, and many people come to access for different reasons. There are some who go to porn sites. However, my family does not permit such sites. Besides, there is a sign above each computer that says it is not allowed to serve such sites. But still, there are some who will go, and if it is seen, it will be told not to go to such sites. They cannot keep an eye on every computer. So there will be someone who will go and would not be seen. The question is it halal? The money earned from this, is the money halal? Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
Wallahi, with respect to this matter, if there is no way to control the access to the internet in a place which is called a cafe, of an internet cafe, then in this case we say دَعْمَا يُرِيبَكَ إِلَى مَا لَا يُرِيبَكَ, leave that which is doubtful to that which is not doubtful, unless there is a way in situations where a secure method can be done whereby such access is prevented. And if this effort is done, and then some kind of a leak, one or two, without the ability to watch them, are able to crack or something through the access, then inshallah ta'ala, in this case, they fall under وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, knows best.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. The question is from a prisoner. He says that he's in prison and there are some inmates, Muslims as well as non-Muslims, who open up stores where they give things for delayed payment. For example, one might receive a deodorant, soap, or anything, food or item for delayed payments, meaning he would agree to receive a product today and will give back tomorrow double of it. So is this transaction halal or is it considered riba? Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
He sells these items in the jail?
Yes, in prison, in jail, because of limited resources, they may give someone something. I mean, the inmates, they may give each other something with the condition that they will give it back, the double of it, things like
that.
So
they don't pay anything? And then, for example, like an installment or something?
No, it is not mentioned in the question.
With respect to this, in accordance with the opinion that delayed payment is permissible, then inshallah ta'ala there is no harm. Hello.
Naam, naam. Jazakumullahu khairan wa ahsanallahu ilaykum. The next question is, I wanted to ask if it is permissible in Islam for ladies, for sisters, to take the morning after pill as a course of emergency if they engage in sexual intercourse without protection with their husbands, or if the contraceptive they are using gets damaged.
If they are using what?
Morning after pill.
You mean contraceptives?
Yes, they take a pill the day after.
The day after.
Or the next day,
yeah.
In the morning, yeah.
And normally this is the procedure to undertaken by for these kinds of medicine that she's taking, for example?
It may not be legal in all states. It depends from country to country. But sometimes they do that.
The general ruling with respect to this had been laid down by many of the respected scholars of Islam in our times, that if there is no harm in taking the contraceptive pill, then this is permissible, and in situations where it may be needed for organization, but not as a way of total prevention. Hello.
Naam, ahsan Allahu ilaykum wa barakallahu feekum. The next question is about wearing earrings for men. The questioner says, I heard some of the companions, Sahaba, they wore the earrings during the life of Rasulullah. Is this correct? Is this narration authentic or not? And is it permissible for men to wear earrings? Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
I don't know about the authenticity of this report, but with respect to our times, it is a practiced matter by people who affiliate themselves or associate themselves with people who are known as gays or and or lesbians. From this angle, therefore, imitation of them is forbidden. Now.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. The next question is, does the sister have to meet potential brothers for marriage because her mother wants her to? Should she meet the brothers out of respect of mother's wishes and then say no to the brothers because they don't meet her own standards?
She wants to meet them.
Yes, the mother would arrange the brother to come.
Yes,
and she would sit and see the brother. And
the mother.
The sister.
Okay, no wali, no guardian from her mahrams.
It's not mentioned in the question.
In this case, there must be a mahram of hers from the legal mahrams. Sitting when a potential person comes to seeking her hand, having no mahram and sitting alone with him is forbidden.
No.
Now, as if she doesn't have a mahram guardian, then in this case she can assign a non-mahram guardian who can meet this brother and then arrange in a certain setting, not to be alone, of course, the individual and this potential fiancé, but rather in a setting where there may be three people. He can see her and she can see him, ask the questions, and then finalize later.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. The question from a sister. She says her husband has a problem with watching pornography movies on TV, and she had this problem for a long time, and she tried to be patient and had sabr with her husband, but to no avail. She does her best to beautify herself as well and to do everything possible her husband would want, but still her husband is more into porno and other stuff. So the sister asked, does that give her right to get a khula? Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
With these type of questions, Brother Zahid, and especially in terms of seeking khula and seeking divorce, we advise that people send their questions to the following address, info@understand-islam.net, because these are very sensitive matters, and there could be a lot of potential advice and help given to these people, and also because of precaution, lest others deduce from a certain advice and or an answer a generalization. So they can do that and send it to info@understand-islam.net. Inshallah ta'ala it will be answered.
Jazakum Allahu khairan wa hafizakum Allah wa barakallahu feekum.
The
next question is from a brother. He says, can we call Allah a thing?
Naam. Warada hada. This came the name shay came in the Quran in Surah Al-An'am. In Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 19. قال الله تعالى قل أي شيء أكبر شهادة قل الله شهيد بيني وبينكم. In سورة الأنعام chapter 6 verse 19. say, what thing is the most great in witness? Say, Allah the most great is witness between me and you. So the name thing came mentioned here in this verse. Imam al-Bukhari in his book of Tawheed, the book on Tawheed, in his Sahih, he tabulated a chapter. He said Babun, and then he put the verse in that says في قوله تعالى قل أي شيء أكبر شهادة, the same verse, Surat Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 19. So Allah named himself Shay, and Imam al-Bukhari mentioned, and that the Prophet ﷺ named the Quran Shay, thing, and it is a sifa, an attribute from the attributes of Allah. But it is not to be said Ash-Shay, the thing. So this is different. Is that clear, inshallah?
نعم جزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم ولعلنا أن نكتفي بهذا القدر وفي نهاية هذا اللقاء العلمي المبارك نكرر الشكر لفضيلة الشيخ الدكتور صالح الصالح حفظه الله تعالى ورعاه لإتاحة هذه الفرصة الطيبة رغم ضيق وقته, ولا يسعنا إلا أن نشكره وندعو له ونسأل الله جل وعلا أن يجعل هذا في موازين حسناته.
اللهم آمين. ولكم جميعا وجزاكم الله خيرا جميعا, والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أينما كنتم.
جزاكم الله خيرا, بارك الله فيكم, ولكم أنتم أيها المستمعون والمستمعات كذلك الشكر على مجيئكم وحضوركم وحسن المتابعة, ونسأل الله جل وعلا أن يجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. And brothers and sisters, after thanking Allah for his tawfiq, we thank our honorable Sheikh for making himself available for us and in such a short notice, and we also thank you as well, we thank you all as well for your time, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who act according to their knowledge. We have different timing, so please.